All right. Open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is always here to teach us and guide us. You've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now we know that we can look into your word. We can learn from you. We can receive revelation from it, operating in your kingdom the way you desire us to. In Jesus' name, amen. First Samuel chapter 17 is a pretty popular account of where David and Goliath ran into each other. Now, Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24, Jesus tells us to literally, he teaches us how to talk to our mountains, our challenges. You know, he said, you speak unto this mountain, it shall be removed unto the sea. Amen? But he told us about using the words of our mouth, talking to the mountain. Now Goliath, you could agree, he was 6 cubits tall, and he had this armor that was huge. I mean, he had a sword bearer that walked before him, and this guy was just huge. He was a Nephilim. He was a monster of a man. Monster of a being. Huge. And David, the Bible says he was ruddy. He was a cute little guy. But here's the thing about David. He understood this covenant with God. See, God sent the prophet to David's family's house to anoint him a king. So, in the tradition of the Jews, he asked for the oldest one to come out, the oldest son. The oldest one came out, and the Lord said, that's not him. Okay, so they weeded him on out and said, do you not have any other kids? He said, we got one. He's out herding sheep. He's a ruddy little guy. So they went and got David, and the Lord said, that's him. So Samuel anointed him to be the king. David had been out in the wilderness herding these sheep, and a bear and a lion attacked his lambs. And he went out with a club, a staff, and took the lamb out of the lion's mouth, took the lamb out of the bear's mouth, and came out of it unscathed. Now, we were getting ready to go to the district wrestling meet, and our coach had us in practice, and he said, now look, guys, when you get there, do the moves you've been doing all year long. Don't try to come up with something new. Do the moves you know. See, that's where we are. Sometimes, you know, we get these basic things instilled in us. And that's what we're supposed to do. You know, we should get some scriptures in us that we know. We got them in our heart. These are our weapons. You know, Jesus had these deals where he said it is written. When the devil came and tempted him, and he said, it is written. It is written. What was he doing? He was returning the word of God back at his problem. But he didn't go find something new. He just stuck with what he had. And that's all we have to do. You know, you don't have to go find somebody's newest bestseller and read that and find out how he did it. All you got to do is go to the Bible and get a few verses, stand on that. Now here's the thing. David said, I can whip this giant. They took him to the king, Saul. And Saul said, okay, here's what we'll do. I'm going to give you my armor, my sword. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he armed him with the coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. All this stuff that Saul was giving him, David had never put it to the test. He had not proved it. David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And he put them away. And he took his staff in hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones of the brook. He was getting ready to go up at that point to one of his biggest battles. And he took what he knew. He didn't go try to find something new. Said, man, this is a big problem. I better go find me a new revelation or something. I better go read up. This guy's got a good book. I'm going to go read this book. No. A handful of scriptures will win the day. When you stand on them in faith and release them, you'll win. See, he kept it simple. 5 rocks and a staff. But here's the thing. David took advantage of his righteousness. When you take advantage of your right standing, you're walking by faith. So what did David do? He ran down there. He got faced up there with that giant. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? That's not just something he was saying. He was saying, you don't have a covenant with God. I do. I win. All them other soldiers were standing there. They could have said the same thing. But they didn't know what they had. So they were trying to figure out something new. They were trying to reinvent the wheel. And this monster kept them frustrated. That's not necessary. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And here's the thing. You've been given a breastplate of righteousness. It tells us that in the Bible. You've been given a breastplate of righteousness. But that breastplate is not going to do you any good if you do not have a revelation of what that is. Romans chapter 3, verse 22, I'm sorry. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The righteousness of God, which is by faith. So this is something that once you get a revelation of, that breastplate is on you. You know that you're in right standing with God. David knew he was in right standing with God. He had that breastplate of righteousness. He didn't need Saul's mail, coat of mail. He didn't need it. So I don't know about this thing you got. Christians are big about running to the bookstore, the Christian bookstore. When we were in Bible school, there was a high level of anointing in there. There were so many different anointed preachers that were coming in there and teaching us. And if you sat under that anointing 4 hours a day, every day, you're going to come out of there anointed. I mean, it's not going to happen. You'd have to be asleep to not. Well, Glenn said, now run down to Barnes & Noble bookstore. Go to the Christian book section and just start going through the books and watch what happens. There was a couple of us that did that. I remember I went in there and I was going along and all of a sudden the hair literally stood up on my neck. And I thought, what is that? And there was a book. It was a Satan book. And he said, you know, there's a lot of people that write books and they put them in the Christian book section. And they're not even born again. But here's the thing. These Christians go running down to the bookstore to find out what this guy has to say about their problem instead of running to hear. Why? Because they haven't proved this. They're still looking for something that's going to save the day. There's a lot of crazy books out there. I ran into a book one time that says, Why Faith is Not for Christians. Why? They were selling it in a church. This right here will win the day. This has everything in it. Righteousness is by faith. The great one lives on the inside of you. He's in there. Be God inside consciousness. He's in there. This will produce all the things of Matthew chapter 6, 25. Remember Jesus said, seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall come unto you. That doesn't sound like the trail, you know, if we need finances or if we need health or if we need whatever it is we need. And Jesus is saying, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness. That doesn't sound like the answer you would expect. Now, does it? I mean, you would expect him to say, go learn money scriptures or go learn health scriptures. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. You know, you literally get a revelation that you're in right standing with God. It makes all this other stuff a lot easier. But we got to serve God and not money. Look over to Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Now David was working with the tools that he knew worked. We can take comfort in knowing that the tools that God gave us in the Bible work. Seek ye the kingdom of God. All these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. When you understand that righteousness is right standing, you've already been placed in that position. Once you get born again, boom. Your only job is to learn to sit by faith and learn how to receive these things. And the only way to receive them is to learn them. Remember, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So the more you learn of Jesus, the more Him is going to flow into you, the more you're going to understand what He did for you, and the more you're going to be able to receive from Him. But it's going to have to be Him. Not doctrine. Not theology. Not some book that you found in the bookstore. This right here, you'll learn more about Him than you will anywhere else. One guy said he read too much and it hindered his faith. This was a pretty popular preacher. I'm not saying that books are bad. I'm saying you really need to use spiritual discernment with these books. Find out who's associated with these books. Find out if this is a spirit-filled book writer. See, it's important to pay attention to what you're listening to, what you're reading, what you're putting inside of you. I had a lady one time, she was having some challenges, and all of a sudden she just showed up at my house and said, I got to whip this. And I said, well, I kind of talked to her a little bit and then gave her some stuff, and she looked at me and I said, where are you going to church? She told me, and I said, why? So that's all, where all my friends are. I said, well, if you're not being taught faith, then what good is it? She looked at me kind of funny. I said, you really need to understand this. What you're listening to all the time is what's going to come out of you all the time. If you're hearing words of faith, you're going to be able to operate in faith. But if you're hearing words of doubt and unbelief, you're going to be operating in doubt and unbelief. Well, she kind of shook her head at that a little bit, and then one day she showed up at the house with a little manifesto. And I said, and this is for prayer, for a special prayer. And I said, look, this stuff right here puts all the pressure on you instead of on Jesus. And then that pretty much settled the issue with her. And she started changing things around and things started happening for her. But if you're not paying attention and you're not learning what Jesus wants you to learn, you're not going to be able to operate in it. You'll always be looking for that next something, that next book, or that, I've seen sometimes, we don't see it here much, but in the big cities, somebody will start a new church and literally hundreds and hundreds of people will flock over there. This is the new thing. I say, well, what's different? Well, they got this praise and worship. Man, it is just absolutely awesome. And so you go there, and it'd be the same preaching that was at the church that they just left. Literally the same preaching. So, well, we're not there. My friend was in the First Baptist Church. He's a good friend of mine. And a great big, highly popular church that was going on over there was come out of that church. And so I went over there and I listened to him and I thought, man, it just sounds like the same old Southern Baptist stuff that they had before. I went over and asked my friend, I said, what happened? He said, yeah, they just split. They went over there. Okay, whatever. Resentment in the coffee pot. It's the same thing. They just put a little different spice on it. But these people still weren't picking up tools that they needed. They were just listening to the same thing. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and he has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God made us able. Jesus was crucified and resurrected, and he gave us his name, and the kingdom became available to us. Literally, I was shocked when I read that the kingdom of God is on the inside of us. And I was even more shocked to get a revelation of that. But you got to be looking at it, and you got to be practicing. Now, you've been speaking English all your life. And now you see some good-looking girl over here that you want to date. Is it going to do you any good to go talk to her in French? No, because you don't know French. You know English. But here's the thing. When you get in the Bible and you get two or three scriptures, sometimes in one area, two or three scriptures is all you need to be victorious in it. You've already been given the victory. You just have to realize it. That's what getting in there and meditating on that word. You know, you can meditate on one scripture. You don't have to memorize the whole chapter. You can meditate one scripture. You know, there's been a lot of guys that memorized a lot of Bible. And it turned out that Jesus was a stumbling block to them. How can that be? Well, they did memorization, but they didn't get revelation. They would have got a revelation of it. They had understood that, hey, this is Jesus. This is the Messiah. Amen? Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. It says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. So Jesus did this for us. Brought us out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But you still have to understand that Satan is the god of darkness. He's still out there. I'm not his child anymore. Neither are you. You're not. It's the will of God for us to walk free. We inherited it. We cannot earn it. It's by grace. He wants you to be absolutely free from Satan and all of his bad dealings. I know we've all struggled with this. You know, there's something going on, and we think we got to start warring and fighting for victory. Why are you fighting for victory? Well, we're in the army of God. You've already been given the victory. Now you just enforce it. He gave us his name. He gave us all these tools to use. Now we have to enforce his victory. Amen? And you know how to do that already. The minute you get born again, when you got born again, you said, I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus back to life. I confess this day that Jesus is Lord. You just enforced the victory that Jesus won for you. And you didn't do anything fancy. You just believed the word. Faith rose in your heart and you spoke it forth. That's how easy it is to whip the devil. But you're going to have to hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You have to get it in your heart. And you have to say it with your mouth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? What part has he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? Are you not the temple of the living God? As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separated, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So we have to develop a victorious conscience, like Caleb and Joshua had. They had this. They didn't try this. How'd that happen? You know, there were 12 spies that went in there. And 10 of them came back with a negative report. You know, Caleb and Joshua could have just jumped right in cahoots with them and said, you know, this is a bad deal. Them giants are big and they look mean. But they didn't hook up with them. The Bible says they had a different spirit. They decided they was going to stay with each other on this. They were going to stay in agreement, even though it wasn't the popular thing to be said. You know, 10 out of 12, that seems to be a popular thing. But they didn't go with the flow. They said, no, we're going to believe God. We're going to believe we can do this. What were they doing? They were taking advantage of their right standing with God. They knew they had a covenant. God told them over and over, you're going to win this. 2 out of 12 believed the word. In the boat, when Jesus walked out on the water, 1 out of 12 believed the word. Amen. It's up to us to believe the word and then act on it. But when you get a whole bunch of things in that mind of yours running around and you're trying to sort out which scriptures to run with, you're going to have a hard time. Just one scripture in an area. Maybe two. Pick up another one. What are you doing there? You're picking up more light. The more light you pick up, the more light you're going to walk in. Some people just won't take that opportunity. But every time you get a revelation of the word, you're going to walk in more freedom. You're going to be able to stand fast in the liberty that he has put you in. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything. For everything that you're doing for us right now. everything that Jesus has done for us in his death, burial, and resurrection. We praise you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.